morning I want to talk a subject that has been really on my mind for the last 3 months. You know, Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. So when he builds his church, there are going to be white people in his church. There are going to be Asian people in his church. There are going to be Latino people in his church, Mexican people in his church. There are going to be black people in his church. And all of those people groups that come to know Christ as Lord and Savior will also be in the book of life. They'll be written in the Lamb's book of life when we think about that. Been thinking about all of the issues that have been going on in our world here in the past 3 months, and come to the realization that you probably have already. Come to this realization. We can't fix past racial injustices. We can't fix past racial injustices. We cannot fix people who feel disenfranchised. We can't rewrite history. We can't go back and rewrite what's happened. We can't take the anger out of people that are angry. We can't take the unforgiveness out of people that are unforgiving, and can't take the bitterness out of people that are bitter. We can't do that. People can't do that. Our responsibility is to know that in Jesus Christ, we are all one. Black, white, Hispanic, Latino, Mexican, Asian, whatever the people group is, in Christ, we're all one. We're all one. And so our object and our purpose as the people of God is not to attempt to fix the past, because we're not capable of doing that. We're not capable of going back and rewriting history or fixing the past. But our responsibility is to proclaim Christ. That's the responsibility of the Christian, to proclaim Christ, to focus on Christ. That's what we are called to do as a church. We can't fix the things that have happened. All we can do is start from where we are in proclaiming Christ and moving forward. You know, we've seen for months now the effects that a physical virus has taken on people. We've seen it. We've seen those effects. But we've also seen effects not only of the physical virus, okay? We've seen the effects of a spiritual virus. And that spiritual virus we've seen is sin. And we are watching the effects of sin in our world today. That's what we're watching. When you turn on the news, you're watching the effects, the result of sin. That's what we're seeing. You know, the Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We know that we've all sinned. In a time when we need medical people to help for the physical virus, it's such a time where we need, you know, spiritual people. We need medical people. We need professional people who are trained, doctors, nurses, all of those people. We need those people to come up with a cure for the virus. But we also need the spiritual people, the leadership, the spiritual leadership. We need the church. We need what makes up the church, every individual being. The church is not a building. The church is you. It's God's people coming together corporately. We need those people to handle the virus of sin. The virus of sin. So, we are seeing right now the result of sin. So I want us to go back in the scripture and look at some passages of scripture this morning. Specifically, Psalm chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And then see if this resembles something. Bible says in Psalm chapter 5, verse 1, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Give attention to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to you do I pray. And that's who we pray to, the one and only true God. Verse 3 says, O Lord, in the morning you hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. For you are not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all evildoers. You destroy those who speak lies. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in fear of you, in fear and respect and adoration of you. Verse 8 says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. For there is no truth in their mouth. Their inmost self is destruction. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Make them bear their guilt, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels because of the abundance of their transgressions. Cast them out. For they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing ever for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exult in you. For you bless the righteous, O Lord, and you cover him with favor as with a shield. We are living right now in a time of fear. We see that in people's faces. We see it in their speech. We see it in their actions. We see it in their conduct. We see that people right now are living in fear. We're also living in a time of mass confusion, because that's what fear produces. Fear produces confusion. And fear, which produces confusion, ultimately produces chaos. Chaos. You know what chaos is? Chaos is, it's a mess. Chaos is people running crazy, running wild, doing whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter about anything. That's chaos. We're living in a world that lies to us about everything. Lies from politicians, lies from medical people, lies from the head of universities, lies from people who are social activists, and sadly to say, lies from even people who are religious leaders. So we have fear, we have mass confusion, we have lies, and we have chaos. We have very little confidence anymore in what certain people say. I know you talk to people all the time. I talk to people all the time. We have very little confidence in the political leaders of our country today. Many people have very little confidence in them. Many people don't even have confidence in the medical field today because of all of the different things that are coming out. Many people don't have any confidence in the social activists because of all the disagreeing and the arguing and the backbiting and the divisiveness. And many people don't have, sadly enough to say, any confidence in religious leaders. But there is one that we can have confidence in, the one and only true God, who we can turn to and we can trust. We can trust his word. Now, I'm not saying that there are certain people that we have confidence in nobody, but we can see what's happening in our world today. There's very little trust. There's a tremendous lack of trust. There's a tremendous lack of trust. There's a tremendous lack of accountability. There's a tremendous lack of willing to confront. There's a tremendous lack of attention to the minutiae of detail which we need to have to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. But we have the one true God. Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's only one truth. We live in a world today where everybody wants to make their truth. This is what I believe, and this is my truth, and you can't tell me what's in my heart. No one's trying to tell anybody what's in their heart. Our responsibility is to tell people what's in the Bible. Because the Bible and God's word, the truth, changes people's minds and changes people's hearts. Before your heart is changed, your intellect has to change. And the one who changes our intellect is the Holy Spirit. There's Father God, the Holy Spirit, in Jesus. John said this in John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, this is the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So now, when does the Spirit of truth come to you? The Spirit of truth comes to us when we accept, give our life to Christ as Lord and Savior. When we become a part of the family of God, that's when the Spirit of truth comes to us. We're adopted into that family. The Bible says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. This is the Spirit of truth. The Bible also says in Ephesians, in chapter 4, verse 21, we're talking about the one true God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by me, he's the truth. Because God is a God of truth. The Holy Spirit reveals all truth. The Bible also tells us that John in chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth sets you free. The truth sets us all free. We all want to know the truth. We want to know the truth. You'll know the truth. When you know the truth, you're free. And what are you free from? Well, you're free from bondage. You're free from all of the things that keep people in chains and in bondage because you know the truth. So we see in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, we read about the condition of the world in Psalm. We know the condition of the world today. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, the Bible says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Sin brings on judgment. That's what sin does. It brings upon judgment. So this scripture is telling us there's people who call evil good and good evil. We see that today. There's people who call dark light and light dark. Do we see that today? Do we see how people put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter? Do we see how everything is turned upside down? Everybody gets to believe and think whatever they want to do, and we have seen not consider what God says to us. In Isaiah, in chapter 28, verse 7, here's what we're told. These are real with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophets real with strong drink. They are swallowed by wine. They stagger with strong drink. They reel in their vision. They stumble in giving judgment. And so what they've done is they found refuge in their lies. They found refuge in their lies, when you think about it. They stumble with their judgment. They find refuge in the decisions that they're making. Isaiah 59, verse 3 and 4. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. No one enters suit justly. No one goes to law honestly. They rely on empty pleas. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and give birth to iniquity. This is every generation in the history of the world. If you go back to the beginning of the world, this is every generation that we have. It happens in every generation. Calling evil good, calling good evil, believing lies, following lies, promoting lies. It's all become very chaotic. It's all become very confusing. And it's all become very disturbing to each and every one of us. You know, it is very confusing. It seems that we have to It's very essential to keep normal people at home, keep them locked down at home from their jobs and their businesses so they don't get the flu. So we got to lock it down. That seems like that's essential right now. But it also seems essential to allow people who are bent on destruction and harm to run free and do whatever it is they want to do without any type of accountability. We see that in our world today. Let's grind everything to a halt. Let's bring everything to a stop. Let's destroy the virus. Let everybody stay home. Don't breathe. Don't move. Don't go out of your house. Don't do anything. So we're going to grind everything to a halt. And we're going to put restraints on everybody. We're going to put restraints on everybody. But then we're going to attempt to remove the restraints on the people who are supposed to provide law and order. Now, I understand everybody who's supposed to provide law and order doesn't always do the right thing, and we see that. But to attempt to remove the restraints on that situation is chaos. We want to demand justice when life is taken, and then we want to applaud the certain mobs that get out of control and do the wrong thing. There may be people that are doing the right thing, but we're applauding the wrong thing. So we need to think about what it is we're doing. You can't go to work, but you could break a window and steal something. You can't go to church, but we've watched people burn down churches. I haven't seen anybody put in jail for any of that. We're watching leadership that controls weak people by fear, the fear of the virus, but that same leadership doesn't have the guts to stand up to strong people because they're afraid of what the outcome may be. And the outcome may be for them, they lose a check. Or they lose some income. So let's bully all the people that we can. Let's suppress them, but let's not ever stand against somebody strong. And that's what we see. And the solution for all of this is to take it out on the people who most of them want to protect and do the right thing. Let's blame them for the few that do the wrong thing. Let's blame them in general for those that give their lives to do the right thing. That's the solution. That's it. How did we get here? How did we get here? Exactly. What is stated in Isaiah 5:20 is true. How did we get here? Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's happened in every generation, and it's happening right now in front of our eyes. It's happening right now in front of our eyes. We need the truth. And we need the truth from God. And the only truth we're ever going to get is in the Word of God. In Romans in chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, and then verses 19 through 26, we're going to look at that quickly in the remaining time that we have this morning. But I will tell you this. It is the summation of the nature of human people. It is the summation of all of us prior to being redeemed, prior to coming to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Romans 3, beginning in verse 10, the Bible tells us that we're not righteous. The Bible says this in verse 10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. I'll go down and read it all and then we'll discuss it. Verse 11 says, no one understands, no one seeks for God. We live in a world today where everything wants to be encouraged. We want to encourage. We need to understand something here this morning. This is what the world is before they come to know Christ. This is what we are before we come to know Christ. And this is what we're seeing in our world today. None is righteous, no, not one. That speaks to character. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. And in their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. When there's no fear of God, and I don't mean, oh, I'm afraid of the death of God. When there's no fear, a respect, a reverence. When there is no fear of God, humans go crazy. There's no accountability. There's no fear of anything. This passage of scripture is talking about character, how we live, what we are, how we make decisions. It's talking about our conversation, how we speak, and it's talking about our conduct. We all believe that Black lives matter, because we all believe that every life matters. Every life matters. So for us to say we don't believe that, well, we do believe that, because every life matters. So do white lives. So do Latinos. So do every life matters. Every life matters. You know, I listen to messages and I do research and do what everybody else does. And you already know this. In World War II, over a five-year period, 85 million people died. And over 55 million of those people were civilians. They were civilians. So my question is, how does Planned Parenthood support and trust Black Lives Matter, but they also provide the vehicle for 1,000 black lives to be aborted every day? How does that happen? How does that happen? You know, if you make laws for people to kill, they will kill. When you have laws for people that are allowed to kill, they're going to kill, okay? Hitler killed, Solomon killed, Hirohito killed, the Supreme Court allows killing. If you make laws, the people will utilize those laws. This is the natural expression of an unredeemed person. It's a natural expression. Before I came to know Christ, I was all of that. And I'm not here to tell you I'm all perfect now, because I'm far from it. But there's a difference between an unredeemed person and a redeemed person. You know, verse 18 in Romans says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. No fear at all of God before their eyes. Proverbs 16:6 says, by steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When you fear the Lord, when you respect the Lord, you turn from that. You turn from that. You know, growing up, everybody in the household has probably heard, wait till your father comes home. You better wait till your father comes home. You wait till your father comes home. Remember that? I used to hear that all the time. Wait till your father gets home. And all day it's like, oh my goodness, what time's he getting home? Where could I be? You know, wait till your father gets home. There was a fear. Now, I'm not saying that fear is the same type of fear we have for God. We don't have to be afraid that God's going to beat us up. He's going to slap us in the mouth. But he will allow whatever he needs to allow to happen in our lives to get us to where we need to be. And Proverbs 16:6 is saying, and by the fear of the Lord, people turn from evil. When you see what's going on in our country today, there's no respect for God. There's no fear of God. There's no respect for anybody. There's no accountability or respect for anything or anybody. And our responsibility as a church is not to go out and be like that. Our responsibility as a church is to share Christ. Because that's how people get in the family of God. That's how people have a personal relationship with them, through the people of God. God uses his people. Not to be social activists, but to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the gospel to the world that we're speaking of today. Proverbs 23:17 says, "Let not your heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord all day." See, Paul, in Romans in chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, he's presenting an indictment against what unredeemed people look like. These charges are presented in three categories: in the character of people, in the conversation of people, and in the conduct of people. So he says in verse 10, "Man is universally evil. There is none righteous, no, not one." This is unredeemed people. Nobody's right. Nobody's good. The Bible says all sin and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, prior to being redeemed, we were a part of that. All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. We were also a part of what we're reading here. There's no one that's right. There's no one who understands. There's no one that seeks God. Everybody turns away. Everybody is worthless. No one does good. That's what we were like before we came to know Christ. Now, does that mean everybody was Adolf Hitler or everybody was Charles Manson? No, we know that there are people who do good things, who don't go out and do heinous, horrible things. But the reality is, Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." There's no level of how good or bad prior to knowing Christ. "Well, you know, I don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, but I'm not that bad." It doesn't matter. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." "But you know, I was a member of the Girl Scouts or the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts, and I did this and I did..." That's great. No one says you're an evil person. But what we're saying is what the Bible says. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. And you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that your sin eternally separates you from God. And you have to acknowledge there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. And you ask for forgiveness of your sin. You turn from your sin. The Bible says, "Let not heart envy sinners, but continue in the fear of the Lord." By the fear of the Lord, people turn from evil. When you have a love and respect for God, you realize how big He is. We realize how small we are. And we turn from all of the different things in our lives that are unpleasing to God, which is sin. Everything that doesn't please God is sin. It doesn't matter how big or little. You steal a piece of gum or you go rob a bank, it's sin. It's sin. There's different consequences from stealing a piece of gum or robbing a bank in the world, but in God's eyes, sin is sin. Bible says you look at someone with lust, you've committed adultery. People would argue that. Bible says you have hate in your heart for somebody, you're a murderer. So basically, if we look at the Ten Commandments, prior to knowing Christ, I broke every one of the Ten Commandments. Numerous times. Hundreds of times. If you steal a pencil from work, you're a thief. Stealing is stealing. Well, I can't be perfect. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to realize that you're a sinner, that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus. So Romans 3, 10 through 18 is talking about that. Universally, man is evil. He's evil. Man, in verse 11, is ignorant. Nobody wants to hear these things today. Nobody wants to hear, "Hey, you know what? All you people don't know Christ. You're evil. You're ignorant." That's just what God is saying to God. He's saying to us. So we understand the condition of man. We understand the condition of man. Look at what he says next. "They're all have turned aside. They have all become worthless. No one does good." Hey, I have no problem saying that that was me. That was me. That was me. I don't know how you can become a Christian if you don't think that was you prior to knowing Christ. You can't sit here and say, "Well, you know, I wasn't that. I may have been him, but it wasn't me. I wasn't how bad were you on a scale of 1 to 10? Well, I was only 3. Well, I was 10. But bad is bad. Their throat, in verse 13, is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. Is that what we see today? Do we see all kind of lies and deception and manipulation? That's all we see. That's all we see. How do we know what's true? You can watch every news station there is, and you'll get fixed on one, and you'll be convinced that that's true. There's only one truth, and that's God's word. So how do we figure out what's true? We have to match up what we see versus what God's word says. That's how you do it. This is not rocket science, people. You have to watch what's going on in our world, and you have to watch what God's word says, and then that's where the truth is. And when the Bible says you know the truth and the truth sets you free, you don't have to be crazy. You don't have to run around acting like a fool. You know the truth. The truth sets you free. When you have an opportunity to speak, you can speak the truth in love. And that's what we're supposed to do as a church. We can't go back and rewrite history. We can't go back and rewrite what happened yesterday. We can ask forgiveness for what we've done that's wrong, that was a part of anything. But all we can do is proclaim the gospel as a church. And as a church, the Madison Baptist Church in New Jersey, that's what we need to focus on. You can know the facts, match the facts up with what you say they are, match them up with the Bible. Verse 14 says, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. That has to deal with the conduct of people. And in their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. There's no peace. Do you see peace in our world today? Do you see peaceful people? And every time you turn on something or listen to something, it's yelling and screaming and people talking with anger in their faces. And there's no peace. God's people don't need to be about that. We're not about that. That's not who we are. That's not how Jesus Christ was. When Jesus Christ came and preached the Beatitudes, the greatest sermon of all time, he turned the world upside down. Everything that the world thought you were supposed to act like, he said do the opposite. Be humble, be meek, be gentle. Seek after righteousness. People don't do that today. You know why? Christians don't do it. They don't want to hear this because they're afraid of what the world will think of them. Because we want to be popular. We want to make sure everybody likes us. But Jesus said this, blessed are you when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you because of me. Because if they did it to me, they're going to do it to you. And so we don't need to point our fingers at the world. We need to look at ourselves as God's people. And what do we stand up for? You know, it's easy to stand in this room and talk to you and sound. But you know what? It's about what we do out there. It's about what we do out there. It's about what we're willing to lose out there. We're not losing anything in here. This is free. This is for our encouragement. This is for our edifying. This is so we take what's in here and we bring it out there. That's what this is for. We have to hear what the truth is and not be blind to what's happening out there. And then we bring Christ out there. Their conversation, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. They have not known peace. And in verse 18, there is no fear of God. And the world is crazy because there's no fear of God. There's no respect for God. Because people have made God to be their God. But what's the answer? And we'll close with this. What's the answer? Verse 19 of Romans chapter 3. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. We've said this before. The law is like looking in a mirror. When I go up to the mirror and I look in the mirror, I see all of the imperfections. The law reveals the sin. But when I look in the mirror and see all the imperfections, you know what the mirror cannot do? The mirror cannot remove the imperfections. It can reveal them, but it doesn't remove them. They're still there. I can look there, turn away, wash my face. They're still there. What removes the imperfections? The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We can adhere to the law and the traditions, the rituals. We can go to church. We can get up and spout scriptures, and we can act good and do good, but that doesn't remove the imperfections. That doesn't change what's happening out there. What changes what's happening out there has to start what happens in here first. The Bible says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Think about what we just read from verse 10 to verse 18. Think about what unredeemed humanity looks like. Think about the world, what that looks like in those verses. There's no peace. Everything's chaotic. The character was a mess. The conversation was a disaster. And the conduct was a disaster. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. That it's been made in you apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all who believe, that means for all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They're believers. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Bible says this, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there, this is important, for there is no distinction. No distinction for all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So more than just a group of white people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. More than just a group of black people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's no distinction. More than just a group of Latinos, more than just a group of Asian, more than just a group of every people group who put their faith in Jesus Christ, there's no distinction. The bond we have is that in Christ we're all one. And all lives matter. Verse 24, and are justified by his grace as a gift. That's how we're justified. It's a grace. Grace is the gift of God. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, we receive by faith. That's how we receive Christ, by faith. By faith. We put our faith and trust in him. We've never seen him. Nobody in this room would buy a house without ever seeing it, maybe, or buy a car. I don't know. We would never sign up for anything that we've never seen. We got to be rock solid sure. I want to see it. I got to read it. I got to make sure. We've never seen Christ. We put our faith and trust in him. We live our life for him. We die for him. We'll get voted out of church for him. We'll live in a single wide trailer for him. We'll lose everything we have for him because we believe in him. And it was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So we see what unredeemed humanity looks like this morning. We see what our world looks like this morning. We know in Christ we're all one. We know in Christ we all matter. We know that he loved us before the foundation of the world. We know that in spite of our sin, God looked down on us and sent the best he had, which was Jesus Christ, to die for us. To bring peace. To bring joy. To heal his people. Let us as a church be that healing agent. Our world today. Not a part of all of the mess and the chaos, but part of the peace that comes from knowing the truth. And let's bring the truth to people in love, and let the truth and the Word of God set the world free.